You sure?
No.
You're not sure you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
You have no choice.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Russ.
And I'm Sean.
And we're two dads who love watching
and talking about
movies. On this podcast, we are chatting about the 1989 film, The Abuse.
The Abused.
We have been watching movies together since we were 10 years old in Sean's basement.
That's my basement.
36 years later, we're back in the basement.
Russ's basement.
In this podcast, we're going to mispronounce words.
Forget actors' names.
And most importantly, have fun.
Have fun.
This is just another review podcast.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
I've tied my head to the microphone stand, so my face doesn't leave the microphone.
Russ has a tendency to go in and out.
Especially as the podcast goes on, I get lazier and lazier. Oh.
So I've got to, if I see his energy level drops, I've got to give him a good old smack.
I start talking and then I don't know, I feel self-conscious about my, whatever I'm talking about. So I just kind of fade out. You know, we should really
don't fade out. Don't fade out.
No, whatever thing I'm sharing, it really doesn't matter because it's just all about you, Sean.
It is really.
How you doing?
It is. I'm doing all right. Oh. You know, I had a busy work week. I was definitely looking forward to the weekend.
Oh, what did you do this weekend?
Nothing. That's just it. I think I needed that decompression. Just relaxed. Yeah.
Like when you go underwater for a long time, you have to decompress?
Yeah, what a good choice of words I just used. Yeah, that was just a good choice of words. That was just random, too. I didn't mean to do that.
Well, maybe subconscious.
There you go.
Like you were thinking about it all
like
day.
On a sub level.
Like a nuclear.
On a sub level.
Like an extraterrestrial Navi in the water.
Yeah, we don't have to go that far.
Okay, well.
Yeah, the movie should just stop.
You're building Lego.
You guys, some of my close friends have been building Lego since they were kids. And I never really got into it. I never discouraged them from Lego, but I just never really got into it.
Why did you always make fun of me as a kid and tell me that I was a Lego freak?
Did I?
No. You used to bully me.
There you are, making shit up again, Russ.
Because I played Lego.
No, I never bullied anybody.
You should, as a 46-year-old, I still have Lego. And now you do too.
Right.
You're getting into Lego.
Yeah, I got a Lego set for Christmas, a Star Wars bad guy fighter, not a TIE fighter, I guess. Yeah. And really enjoyed building it. Thought it was quite therapeutic. Mm-hmm. So now I've gone down the Lego train. Right.
Oh, yeah.
I've been buying knockoff Lego from China and getting it sent out. And it's because it's the real deal.
And only because you couldn't get what you wanted.
So my heart was set on the Back to the Future DeLorean, and it's a hard set to get, but easy to find in China.
Okay.
Back to the Racer.
That's you what didn't it's called. Go to China for the Lego.
No, though. Someone else went to China for me.
Someone was in China.
Sent it to you. Bought it on from somebody else in China.
Oh, wow.
Took it to a warehouse. Okay. Said I bought it. Mm-hmm. Here's it at a warehouse. Now ship it to yourself.
Oh, that's, what a great story.
It was. It was quite the process. But after about a month of all this, finally a Back to the Racer DeLorean showed up at my door.
And we're going to have a Lego party. So our friend, high school friend Jason, who lives nearby.
Jason, friend of the cast.
Friend of the cast, podcast. We're going to have a little Lego party we've planned. So I think we have to figure out how many bricks in a set that we could complete in one party.
Sure. Or you just don't want to understand that you bring just a module of your set or something like that.
Well, right? I feel like if we're going to sit down and have a Lego party, we need to complete the set by the end of the party.
We have to sit to completion?
I think so. I don't want to have a bunch of pieces and have to take it home with me. What if I lose some pieces in my truck or something?
That's fair.
I mean, these are all things I think about. I can't sleep at night.
Things that keep us up at night.
And when you made fun of me about the Lego.
Again, you're making shit up.
Are you excited about the Oscars?
Not particularly, no.
I feel like we're not going to probably podcast until the Oscars are over.
Okay. When is it?
I think they're next weekend.
Okay.
In the March 10th, which would be next Sunday.
That would be.
Any last minute predictions?
Well, I did see Poor Things the other day Emma Stone's performance.
Emma Stone's.
And Mark Ruffalo's performances were very, very strong.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens to them.
Okay. So that's just a, not a prediction, but just a statement.
Zero predictions.
Zero predictions.
I'm not giving Rich the podcast. Forget it.
Come on, throw some random prediction, and when you lose the podcast. Mm. Do you know Dune 2 is out?
Yeah, supposedly. Big hype. Big
Do you know Anya Taylor-Joy is in Dune
2? I forgot she was in it.
No,
I
they didn't promote the fact she was in it.
Oh.
It was a surprise.
Oh.
It's a surprise the movie's out, and guess who's in it? Anya Taylor-Joy.
Oh, small role?
Surprise, big surprise. Role? I would assume a small role.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't seen it
Small either. Speaking role?
Yeah, just to speak. She just walks by in the background.
And looks,
she's a backup artist.
And looks gorgeous.
Backup,
eh?
Backup artist?
She just walks by and says, look at me.
I think she's a sandworm, so she's wearing a full sandworm costume. So it's like Van Damme and Predator, but she actually stuck with it. She just took on the full.
Good for
she kind of just does the worm. You know when you're dancing, you know the worm dance?
Yeah.
She does that along the desert.
I tend to stay away from that move.
And
is that your go-to move, the worm?
My wife's go-to
move. Look at everybody, Russ is on the dance floor. And everybody parts the sea and Russ gets down and does the worm.
Mine's the sprinkler, but my wife's is the worm. But she hurt herself too many times.
Did she?
As an old person trying
worming
to
it
the worm.
Worming it up?
You don't worm it out. But hey,
you got to have a strong pelvic bone for the worm, you know?
Tell me more.
That's all I got.
Is it much pelvic thrusting? Like,
well, you know, your whole body's got to do this whole ripple movement, and you kind of hump down to the floor a little bit, don't you?
The floor.
Yeah.
And
hump the floor.
And that's kind of what the big debate is. Is it the worm or is it hump the floor? You know, it's only Michael Jackson can tell us, and he's dead. Let's talk about the
is this. He dead or is he frozen?
Oh, great, good. If you're gonna freeze somebody,
is he dead or frozen?
Him and Hitler. The Abyss, which was
the movie abuse,
came out in 1989 by 1989. Directed and written by Mr. James Cameron.
Who's that?
He's a gentleman who's done only a few movies,
just a few,
but every movie
is really successful.
Really successful, except this movie. Except the abuse.
Jinx.
Oh, every time we jinx, we have
every time we jinx, we put a quarter
in the jar.
In the jar.
Have you heard of the Titanic?
It's a boat.
Have you heard of Avatar: The Way of the Water?
Yeah.
Have you heard of all his water documentaries?
Yeah, he did a Titanic one, right?
Yeah, I think
Journey to the Abyss or something.
Yeah.
He's trying to get people to go back and watch his movies.
I think he really likes the water.
Yeah, I think he's a little obsessed with the water.
And he's got, and so far in the upcoming, he's got Avatar 3, 4, and 5.
Jeez Louise.
But he did Ghosts of the Abyss.
Ghosts of the Abyss.
Aliens of the Deep.
Aliens of the Deep.
Expedition Bismarck.
Expedition the Bismarck?
Do you think he did the Abyss and said, I'm going to do this right, and he just got kind of lost in the whole, like, I need to cleanse my soul and fix everything I got wrong in the Abyss? Or do you think that love for water was
I think he just has this strong infatuation with the ocean and the sea and all that. Maybe he's a sailor.
Oh, like a seaman.
Maybe he sailed with his daddy.
Oh.
And he's always trying to go back to those memories.
He did write this. He wrote the original.
But his dad died.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he fell off the sailboat.
Oh, no.
Like, and he's like, no, dad. And then they cut to commercial.
The Truman Show. Speaking of The Truman Show, Ed Harris is in this movie.
Oh.
Like you don't remember The Truman Show?
No, I do.
Okay.
I thought it was real. I thought that was James Cameron's dad.
Yeah, it was based off
James Cameron's memory.
Yeah.
And that's he wrote that part.
Truman.
Of Truman Show.
And if I don't see you, good evening, good morning, and good night.
He didn't write that part. No, because that was a good
Ed part. Harris plays Bud Brigman. Virgil Bud Brigman.
I need a name for this guy. He's gotta be manly and strong and Bud.
How many so he has a character's name, Catfish, DeVries, Hippie. Okay.
Hippie?
Lisa One Night Stand, Jammer. A lot of like interesting name choices in this movie. Hmm.
Jammer and a One Night Stand. Sounds like a good rock and roll band name.
How excited are you for Love Lies Bleeding? Oh, just that? I thought you were more excited about that.
What the fuck is that?
So this is a movie directed by Rose James Glass. And it's got Kristen Stewart, Dave Franco, and Ed Harris in it. And Ed Harris has like a big mullet. And it's
yes, that's that new the Kristen Stewart movie I was talking. Oh, I forgot the name of it. What's it called again?
It's called Love Lies Bleeding.
Looks different.
Looks amazing.
Yeah.
I guess the main star is Anna Berezhnikov.
Yeah, she's just really muscular. She's got lots of muscles from Brussels.
Muscles from Brussels. I think it's an A24 flick.
Okay. So that gives it a little leg up, right?
Yeah, a little
in leg our books, up. Anyways.
But, you know,
gets our ears and eyes perked up.
Freaking Ed Harris still killing it.
Yeah, man.
He's still going strong. Still freaking intense, just like he is in The Abyss.
Yeah, he's quite the actor, eh? Quite the method actor, supposedly. Just gets right into it for the entirety of the production and all that. I imagine you either hate or love working with that guy. He's either too intense for you and he never turns it off. And especially, I guess, if you're playing opposite at him, like if he's the protagonist and you're the antagonist or inverse or whatever like that, you know, he'd probably be hard to get along with. Or you love it and you're like, oh man, he's just always bringing it and he just helps me get into my performance better because this guy's like a walking, you know, whatever.
I would assume with Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try.
Mary Elizabeth. Let's call her Mary Elizabeth.
Let's call her Mary L.
Working with Ed Harris and James Cameron in the water was probably a freaking nightmare.
Yeah, because I heard James Cameron's quite intense. Yes.
And both of them together in
and then like Ed Harris is intense.
Yes.
And just deep, dark water is intense enough to begin with. It's probably why she wasn't in the documentary.
I was going
to
say.
She's probably just fucking done with this whole.
Because Ed Harris even never wanted to talk about The Abyss or being on The Abyss until I think the only time they've got him on camera talking about The Abyss was this documentary.
Oh, okay.
So Sean and I watched The Abyss, the movie from 1989.
Okay,
and
we've talked about
the making of The Abyss, but you watched the theatrical version,
right?
And I watched the special edition.
Correct.
So we can talk a little bit about that.
We can. Who else is in this movie?
So I said Mary Elizabeth.
You did,
And she was also in Robin Hood and Prince of Thieves, The Kings of Comedy.
You do have Scarface here.
Yeah, Scar. So she's working. She's worked with like a lot of big directors: James Cameron, Martin Scorsese, Brian De Palma, and then Pat O'Connor, who she married.
Who's that?
He's the gentleman who directed a movie called The January Man in 1989. I don't know too much about that. Michael Bane is in this movie. He plays Lieutenant Coffee.
Good old trustworthy Michael supporting actor Michael Bane, right?
So here's the thing. James Cameron works with a lot of the same people and over again. Arnold Schwarzenegger, everybody who's in the Avatar movie. But he doesn't work with Mary Elizabeth and Ed Harris again.
Ever again.
That is...
I don't know. I think they had their one and done with him, knowing that it's quite the...
Let's just agree never to work with each other again.
Let's just call it one and done.
Did he ever work with Chris Elliott again?
Who knows? Yeah, I just see you've got the same note, like Chris Elliott question mark, and so I've got the same note too.
Kind of like Groundhog Day. He's here.
That's funny. Like he's all of a sudden like, and this is the voice of James Cameron that all of a sudden sounds like Jim Henson. Jim Cameron and Jim Henson.
Oh, they kind of look the same.
I think I need ship captain for my scene here.
A little bit of comic impact to the film.
Yeah, like, and just what I'm just Chris Elliott, like kind of the rubber faced, goofy, like I'm gonna
desk jockey.
And he doesn't even get a line to say that's funny or even remotely funny.
No,
well, maybe he did and it got cut out, right?
Well, he does abuse Mary Elizabeth's character, like every other person in this film.
How did he abuse her?
Well, he said something like, Oh,
what did he say?
Bitch or something.
Oh, Russ.
Put the coin. And we'll get into that in a little bit here, but
All right.
I would like to call this movie Everyone Hates Mary.
Everyone hates the Mary Elizabeth.
So this costs
She's a bitch.
That's what the movie says.
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying.
That's what every faction in the movie, like it's like the SEALs call her a bitch, the riggers and who worked with her for many years call her a bitch, the guys on the top side, like Chris Elliott.
Even the aliens, when they were doing the water worm thing, it wrote in water, bitch, on the wall as it went by. You missed that part, eh?
I must have fallen asleep.
It was in the theatrical release.
Cost $70 million to make and only made $90 million worldwide.
Ouch, they only walked away with $20 million in their pocket?
Ouch. I mean, to probably clean up all the impact, they probably devastated that local area where they had to fill up that nuclear power plant.
What did they do with all the water when they were done with it?
Just right back into the lake? the fresh water that they leached from the lake, they just pulled it right back out.
Didn't you hear? They pumped it full of chlorine and shit. They're not pumping that back. So. They would have to go through another serious filtration system, I bet.
So they killed rats and they probably killed a huge population.
They did like 12 rats. They went through like a dozen rats for that scene.
And the rat in the movie did die of natural causes.
A year later.
Or no, right before the film came out.
Right, yeah. There's a part, the guy said, oh, they wanted me to bring the rat on Johnny Carson and it's dead.
Yeah. And the, and in... dead rat.
That's not nice. It was cute. Oh, I was like, aw.
Poor.
Cute little ratty.
It did win an Oscar for...
The rat won an Oscar?
The rat won an Oscar. But unfortunately, he was dead. He couldn't...
It was a post-mortem Oscar, right? In memoriam, right? So, like, an honorary Oscar? Yeah,
Jack Black went up and claimed and said, I'll accept this award on the rat's behalf. Which is nice of Jack Black.
Why Jack Black? Why did Jack Black come into your head there?
You know, I want to fuck you. When I want
What is going on here? What are you talking about?
It's a Tenacious D song.
Oh, okay. I thought you were, you know, getting kind of weird here.
No, sorry, I'm just singing a Tenacious D song, everybody. Are you want to get into it?
Let's get into it.
In the future of 1989, the employees of an underwater drilling platform are enlisted...
Actually, voluntold.
...to aid a SEAL team investigating a submarine incident at the bottom of the ocean. The platform's designer...
Widely respected and cared for by everybody in this movie.
Director Lindsay Brigman, performed by Maria Elizabeth Stranione, joins the SEAL team and is reunited with her husband, Virgil Bud Brigman.
Performed by Intense Ed Harris.
Drill foreman and head of safety.
When it comes to the safety of these people, there's me and there's God. You understand me?
The SEAL team compromises the lives of the civilians to retain a nuclear warhead, and Ed Harris swims with a suit, dragging his dead wife, and swims through liquid breathing.
It's real stuff.
Behind it all are non-terrestrial intelligent life forms, also known as the Na'vi.
Wait.
Who have the power in the world to end human life, but don't.
What movie
because
are we in?
Ed Harris loves his wife.
God, I hate that bitch.
And if that doesn't make you want to watch The Abyss right now, then don't. Because, I don't know. I think
well,
it looks
you
good
missed
on the
a
shelf.
Lot of important points.
Did I really, though?
No.
Did I really? So the differences between the theatrical and the special edition.
I would just like to point out that your Italian accent for was very racist.
I'm 1/10 Italian, so I can do that.
Oh, okay, I see.
Actually, I don't think I am.
Mary Elizabeth Spaghetti. Just say that.
A penny.
It's easier than trying to pronounce
it. Mastra. I think I've heard it been said before. And I feel like if I like just go into a Zen moment, I'll be able to say it. Mastra. No.
Like who's the guy from Oppenheimer? The big O movie.
Cillian Murphy?
Is that how you pronounce his first name? Cillian?
Killian?
I don't think it's Cillian.
Okay, then. Sicilian. Killian Murphy, then.
Mm. Killian.
Oscar award winning Killian Murphy, maybe?
You think so?
By next week? I mean, you don't know.
He's a bit of a journeyman, eh? He needs a little hardware in his...
He deserves it.
He deserves it.
You've seen his role as Scarecrow
boy
in the Batman trilogy.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. will win an Oscar for Oppenheimer.
You think so, eh?
Yeah. Christopher Nolan will win an Oscar for Oppenheimer.
Nice. All right.
Every other below the belt category will win an Oscar for Oppenheimer. So
what?
They spend more time with the characters. Yeah, of course.
Okay,
the
theatrical versus
the special edition. Okay, but the ending is the biggest difference.
Right.
So in the end, when Ed Harris is down in the kind of space station, the water space station.
Visiting aliens.
They're like, and he's like, why are you doing this? And they show a lot of like news broadcasts of like war, like real live images of of the United States versus the Soviet Union, or just different catastrophes. And then they create like a tsunami, like huge waves, and they set the waves over top of like iconic.
Yeah, locations. And they just like freeze them in time. Right?
Is that in the theatrical version?
No.
Okay.
No, but I've seen the special
edition. Oh yeah. Okay.
But
And the aliens are like, look, we could do this. We could wipe you out right now.
Are we gonna?
But he's like, why?
He's like, why are you doing this?
Why'd you stop? And he's like, well, because you texted, you loved your wife.
Oh, because there is hope for humanity in this one guy who could love his wife.
A
complete bitch like her. That's probably it. They're like, man.
They're like, we heard every bad thing people said about her.
Guy can actually pull a little bit of love out for this nasty bitch.
I feel like the fact maybe that they said all those mean here. Things, they should just wipe out human race.
They're like,
ignore the terrible devastation of famine and war. Just wipe us out for the fact that we treated Dr. Lindsay this terribly.
How much longer is the special edition over there? Because the theatrical is still quite long.
20 to 40 minutes.
Oh, jeez.
It's a little bit long.
James, he needs to cut his...
I want you to see it all.
He needs to trim his bush a little bit, eh?
Oh, my gosh. What does that mean?
I don't know. I'm just a saying I'm making.
You know, what do you call a movie that hasn't been edited enough?
You know, this movie's a little wrong. You know, James, I think you should trim your bush. Excuse me? James? It's just what we say.
It's me, Miss Piggy.
Yeah?
Trim your bush.
Hi-ya! Oh, where's my bush?
I cut it with my chop. Norris, my Chuck Norris skills. Hi-ya!
Whoa.
You like that?
That's no.
No.
Scary.
No, I don't like it. Hey, Kermit.
I did like this movie.
You did.
I did like this movie.
That's good.
Okay. Let's we'll Sean skip right to the ending. I did like this movie. Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot more as when I was younger. Mm-hmm. But for some reason this time around it just really lost me at the very end, his interaction with the aliens. I think maybe in the special edition, it's a little bit more strengthened. I think it is. They even said that in the documentary that they pretty much removed the whole subplot of the aliens threatening to destroy the Earth and stuff like this. But I lost my concentration. Your dog's licking my balls.
The golden retriever.
Ooh, that's nice.
Cinnamon has entered the studios.
Sort of the last 10 minutes of the theatrical release is his interaction with aliens, and they look a little puppety and stuff like that. I got a little pulled out of it. I was like, man, I don't know. And I was thinking, man, they could have probably just made this movie without the aliens at all. It could have just been sort of like them against
right.
the NPSC, NTSC, the HPV vaccinated SEAL guy. What's the syndrome he's got going on? HPVs.
Oh, he's got that weird like...
You've got it written down here. Yeah, I just didn't read it.
While. I know you're out there somewhere.
I know you're out somewhere. The HPVC.
You've got high pressure nervous syndrome.
There you go. High pressure nervous syndrome. I don't know. Of course,
then here's, I was like, here's things okay. that took me out of the film.
Oh. Five things that took Russ out of the film.
Number one, all the hate towards Mary Elizabeth's character.
And you just didn't like it because you felt it was like women hating kind of thing?
Yeah, I just felt like, well, when you know the movie is directed and written by James Cameron, you kind of just feel unfortunate the fact that there's no... It's just like, let's just paint the picture of this strong woman.
Wait,
everyone hates this strong woman.
Had he gone through his divorce to Catherine
Bigelow? I don't think Bigelow he had even yet? Married her yet.
Oh, it okay. I was wondering, maybe he was disgruntled Bigelow. From his Catherine
I think Bigelow he's just maybe a little bit of a woman hater.
Okay.
And even the only other woman character throws shade towards like Mary Elizabeth's character. At one point, doesn't she like... Like
she's like, oh hi, and she's like,
yeah. And doesn't she take her breathing tubes and fold them at one point? I think she like risks safety and death by not being a very nice person. Like it's just too much. Like I feel like at one point
they hit it over the head a little too much.
Yeah, Lieutenant Coffey like puts duct tape on her mouth or something. And he's like, I've been waiting to do this. When she dies. And Ed Harris has to swim her back.
Everybody cheered when she died.
Right? And he brings her up and he's trying to do CPR and CPR doesn't help. You know what does help? slapping the shit out of her. That's that's how he saves her, by like physically abusing her.
God damn you, bitch! You never backed away from anything in your life. Now fight, fight, fight right now.
It's too much. It's too much.
Maybe that's why she walked off the set.
Yeah, dude. I would think so.
Maybe all of that hate was just projected on her so much, like not only in scenes, but when the camera was turned off. You know, Ed Harris is such a method actor. He's probably calling her a fucking bitch when the camera was turned off. You know what I mean? He probably punched her off set there, you know?
I don't know.
He's like, where are you going?
I would hope so, because I would hope, no, I don't, I would hope, Russ, so. Not, I don't hope.
Put your
so.
Hands down.
Let me just clear Russ this
trying
up.
To slap
I don't
right
want
now. Don't.
Ed Harris to no. Slap Mary Elizabeth.
No, I'm making
but I'm wondering, like, she's kind of out of the shot when he's doing the CPR, so I hope that she actually wasn't there and he was just doing
it. Yeah, because you could see someone like Ed Harris probably, like, breaking her
ribs. Well, yeah, that's what happens when you give people CPR. You do break their, because you're pushing so hard. That's,
especially if you do it wrong, I think, too.
Or even if, I think if you're doing it right, because of the, like, I think people who are
it's just something you risk just, doing yes. to save their life.
So you're just like, oh, my God, that's scary. You could
save his life or break his ribs.
Okay, number two. Number two, what took
five me? Things Russ hates about
the drowning the rat.
You didn't like, I didn't like it either.
Well, I don't care the fact that he did it, but just the fact that no one gave a shit. Like here. Okay. So the one pet, like everyone's going to love the pet, right? You love pets.
Russ has a soft spot for animals.
I
now.
Have, I, you know,
he always did.
And so so these fucking seal guys come down. Nobody wants them there. Ed Harris claims to be like the next step above God to ensure the safety of the crew. But right away that goes out the window. And that guy just grabs his rat and puts him in, and he just kind of leans down in the shot and goes, oh gosh, don't. Yeah. Oh my gosh, don't do that with my, if someone really took,
if someone like rat, grabbed your pet.
Yeah. If someone grabbed your pet, you would like push. You
oh, would I would grab, kill them.
Yeah, exactly. There's no, it was just like, well,
get your hand off my dog.
So you don't like it, but you can't do anything about it. Right. It just feels like a very overly directed scene. Ed,
and we didn't need to see that either. You know, like, did we need to see the demonstration?
I mean, I think it is cool. It does, like, play into the larger, plot point of using.
And that was a real demonstration.
That was a real demonstration.
That they filmed.
Yeah, there, yeah. So I think it's cool. I just think, like, it just, I would have liked to seen an actual, like, conversation with the rat owner and been like.
Or when he gave the rat back, maybe he punched the guy.
Yeah, yeah,
that
exactly.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. And to the point of. Ed Harris claiming the safe. So this is number three.
Okay.
Ed Harris claiming.
Wait. Five reasons Russ doesn't like the Abyss.
Ed Harris is like, okay, I'm in charge here. You're allowed to come on, but I'm in charge. So right away, the SEALs take charge. And then they make decisions. They went to go get during the storm,
right.
Which completely like throws off everybody and kills like half the crew.
Because
and
they couldn't unhook the umbilical cord. Right.
And it doesn't seem like everyone just kind of moves on right away. And I don't
know. Yeah, when they came back.
Like punch the guy. Punch
yeah, Ed Harrison. He's like, let's just get these guys unstrapped and let's come on. You know, rather than being like,
yeah,
you know, I'm gonna fucking kill you. You just risked everybody's
and
life.
Killed multiple people of his crew.
Yeah,
like these are family. This is like these people you're trapped down. Like you,
they had families and rats above the surface.
Number four.
Four things. Oh, number four.
Maybe that's it. Sorry. Oh, the underwater aliens.
Oh, three. He only had three.
The puppet. The same kind of stuff that you said.
Yeah, I didn't need to get that close to the aliens to the point where I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Little tiny, wiry, puppety thingies.
And number five, I think it's just the documentary is kind of better than the actual movie. Like
the documentary is awesome from if you like filmmaking, yes. Right?
If you can appreciate the work that went behind this film,
oh yeah,
it's pretty incredible. And you appreciate the movie a little bit more too.
Once totally,
the documentary.
Now, if someone hasn't seen this movie, I guess it would be a spoiler. Yeah,
spoiler.
I say watch the movie first, then the documentary.
Yeah, watch the movie.
But I would say maybe don't,
or maybe not.
Maybe don't judge the movie until after you've seen the documentary,
right? Or watch the documentary and see how much work went behind it, and then when you watch, because I think we get lost with all the practical effects because we've seen so much CGI.
I think somebody watching it now would be like, oh, that's computer, right. Not really, like, no, that's miniatures.
Yeah, why does it look so good?
Or no, because that's actually a sub underwater,
right? It's practical effects, people.
Practical effects are unreal in this movie.
Oh yeah, they're really good.
Yeah and really overshadows some of the kind of weaker sub points that you made, which, right. Which is yeah man, that opening submarine shot, something about like the deep blue sea that just scares the piss out of me, man.
Isn't there a movie called Deep Blue?
Probably. just that deep, you know, there's no light really. And then also it was just like kind of that washed out. And then all of a sudden you just see the nose of the submarine kind of start to come into view. Like almost like it's coming out of a fog. Yeah. I just gives me chills, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I get chills.
And just how brave those people are. Those seamen in the submarine, just for like, I mean, you're floating. What would you call? I mean, you're not driving.
Steering?
Steering a submarine?
Moving?
You're not driving. You're not swimming it. You're not. It's not a boat. You're
the
not
boat floating is swimming in. Through the water. The boat, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what would the verb. Anyway, steering it.
Steering it. Okay.
You're steering it blind, right? You're just based off. You sonar got sonar. Things.
Yeah. Yeah. Bing.
But is that what does sonar actually give you a visual representation of the layout?
Yeah.
Oh,
for sure.
Oh, wouldn't it? I don't know.
I mean, technology. It's probably.
I don't know. I'm not a seaman.
You're not. I don't know. And that's not what that person said.
I was like, "Stay here, seaman, and finish your Lego to completion."
Oh, let's do like an abyss Lego set.
Oh, hey, I wonder if they make some of the subs from the. Oh, just some underwater subs would be cool.
That'd be cool. I'm sure there is
some. Have you seen the Titanic Lego?
No.
You haven't seen that? Holy shit.
Is it cracked in half, Titanic?
You build it in three pieces and then put it together. It's huge.
But it's a full, it's like not a destroyed Titanic.
No, it's a full.
Pre-iceberg.
Pre-iceberg.
Yeah. So you, yeah. Could you put like.
When everybody was happy.
DiCaprio and Kate Winslet at the top of the.
It's probably that big. You could stand on it probably.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You might even be able to sail across the Atlantic in it. I'm not sure.
Speaking of boats that are that big, when they made the, they made a lot of like, so they did like the practical,
yeah,
right? So they went to like a half completed nuclear reactor facility, filled up these tanks. They had like A tank and B tank,
right.
And it was almost like 7.5 million gallons of water.
Just stupid numbers I can't even comprehend.
Yeah.
Like amount of water and filtration system and.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they know, and so they had this whole underwater film set, but then they also like had like miniatures upon miniatures upon miniatures, but even like the boat on the rip on the real ocean, they still had to get like a permit for that because it was big enough to actually be large enough for to be like a categorized as a vessel.
I guess. So there's nobody on it though.
You know. No, Chris, a little mini Chris Elliott.
Help me. Look out. Here comes the umbilical cord. Michael Bain. Let's talk about Michael Bain a little bit. He's normally sort of the, I mean, he's got kind of that monotone voice and, you know, he sort of speaks things just like this and we'll get, and he's normally the B support. But in this movie, he shows some really good acting chops. Yeah, he's the bad guy for once.
Right. The studio tried to get him an Oscar, I think. Tried to get him nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah. So he did do really well, though. I think as a...
Compared to, like, Kyle Reese in The Terminator or Corporal Hicks in Aliens. Totally.
I think this is probably his best acting performance out of Michael Bain I've seen.
Have you ever seen The
Mandalorian? Maybe it's because he was up against this intense Ed Harris.
Right.
You know, he brought out the best in him, right?
Yeah. Have you seen The Mandalorian with Michael Bain
in it? No. Well, is he that good in it?
There's an episode, just one single episode with
him. Oh, he only made it in once.
Yeah, he was also Sheriff Haig in The Grindhouse and Planet Terror.
Yeah, he does.
I don't remember that. Was he good in that? Was it a big role?
He was typical Michael Bain. Yeah, he wasn't anything like this. He was just the good sheriff kind of thing. You
the good guy.
You know, well, I don't know. Was he the good guy?
Was he?
Maybe not. I'm just trying to read my notes here. Okay, yeah. You're in a submarine.
I'm in a submarine. Spilling
with your wife.
Okay, with
you and your wife. Yeah. In a submarine. It's filling with water.
Oh, shit.
You got one suit. You got to swim to the rig.
Okay.
Who's swimming? Who's dying?
Well, I'm a better swimmer than my wife. So
would she agree with that?
Yeah, she would agree with that.
So you're doing the swimming. She's doing the dying.
So I think I do like that scene. I was humming and hawing about if I like that scene. I do like it. I don't know in that
pressure. You think James Cameron purposely chose to kill Mary L?
I don't, like, in the pressure of trying to make that decision within that quick time limit, I feel like, because the other option is you could be like, hold your breath, swim with me, right? Let's try to make it.
And die while.
And die while. But then if you did that
would have saved her time.
You think so. But then I wonder if you would be worried about, like, if you started to die while we were swimming.
She'd struggle.
You'd struggle. And would you start, like, making poor decisions? Would you be like, oh, I'm going to swim to the top when there's no way you would be able to make it? And so is it make sense to die contained in that sub and then pull her to the next, I don't know.
Maybe that's such a, how would you think of that in the 30 seconds you have?
I don't think I would think about the fact that we could resurrect somebody after drowning.
No.
But then I don't think I would ever be in that situation. And
no, it sounds like they've been in that situation
before. Right. So they knew the logic of like, okay, you can probably die for 2 minutes and we can bring you back.
Yeah.
It'll just be a lot of water in your lungs.
Yeah. You'll just feel kind of icky for a bit.
But I don't know. I think if I was as educated as I am now, I think I'd just be like, we're both dying. Like, that's what's happening now. Like, there's no solution.
Well, you won't both die. He had a suit with water.
I know, but
would I'd you, play rock, paper, scissors.
But would you even be like, would you just be like, okay, we're going to die together, but actually I'm just going to swim out as soon as you're dead? Like, would you even, would you think about that? I don't know. I feel like you would just be like, we're going to do this together. Like, I'm like, you know, if you, it's like, hey, you're with your kid and you can either like go off this cliff with your kid or you can let your kid go off the cliff by himself. So like, wouldn't you just go with your kid? Like, you just sacrifice yourself to be
with the person you love. You asking me to answer this question, right?
I just feel like you asked me the question of like, what would I do?
No, man.
I feel like we would just like, die together.
Peace out. Can kick him off. It's like, I can make other kids.
I don't know. I don't
think you can, actually. I can't. I'm snipped. You've been snipped. Shit. Kid, come back. Shit.
Oh, come with
me. I pushed my kid off the cliff. There's no getting them. I made some wrong choices. I made some bad choices.
What would you do if you were in the submarine with your wife?
I don't know who's the stronger swimmer. I think I might be, but I don't know for sure.
Okay.
I know I could hold my breath for a good time. So I'd probably.
So maybe she needs the suit.
Yeah, I'd probably be like, hey, take the suit.
I'll hold my breath
as long as I can, then I'm going to die.
See, that's a good point, actually. Like, if you're the stronger swimmer, why don't you take the suit off, give the suit to the least strong, less stronger, less, not as strong.
Yeah, at least you get swimmer. 30 seconds of swimming in.
Yeah, we already saw how he could get from one side of the station to the other through water.
Yo.
I mean, give it a chance.
He would have got at least a third of the way there. What did he say? It was 200. Meters away, 200 yards away?
I don't know.
I don't remember the numbers.
Kate Winslet learned to like hold their breath underwater for Avatar, The Way of the Water. Why can't Ed Harris do it
in that
moment of need?
How long can you hold your breath for?
Ooh, I would say a good 60 seconds.
A minute?
I have no idea.
Yeah, let's time it. I want to see if you can hold your breath for, I just guess 30 seconds.
That doesn't make good podcasting.
No, it'll be quiet for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe forever if you hold your breath for too long.
Let's not. Let's rate this.
Oh my gosh.
This shit is awesome.
You suck.
You do suck. You don't want to try to hold your breath?
I don't want to try to hold my breath. This movie is better than The Great Outdoors.
wait. We're rating it.
I don't remember watching.
You didn't explain the rating system.
I don't remember. So what happens is
Sean rates
this movie based on 0 to 5 JARPs. 0 being not a good movie, 5 being the best movie ever. JARPS is just another review podcast.
Acronym.
The acronym of JARP. YARP. I say I don't rate it that way, despite the fact that I may have rated it on my Google Doc. But what I like to say is that it was better or worse than The Great Outdoors because our friend California Matt loves The Great Outdoors.
And we gave The Great Outdoors like a standard 2.5 right. JARPS, right? Yes. Like it's middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack. So if it's bigger... Or better, or worse. It's
better than your average Great Outdoors movie.
You kind of get the idea.
Got it. Okay, tell us why.
Well, because I think James Cameron is just a really good visual storyteller. I think this is a feat of cinematic achievement. I applaud everyone who worked on this movie. Congratulations, you went through hell. It's a fun movie to watch, but I don't really like the movies. We talked a little bit about you watching Aquaman and then turning it off, and I watching the Marvels and turning it off. Within the first like few seconds of the Marvels, there's a shot of people with their space suits on, and you can tell that they're actually not in space suits. Like it's just like their faces have been CGI.
Okay,
and so
that's horrible. Marvel.
So right away, this movie is way better than the Marvels. I just want to sell you to FU Marvels. Also, FU CGI, because even though the Industrial Light and Magic, the George Lucas company that came in and did that whole like little water creature, which then went and inspired like the Terminator.
Yeah, morphing, they called it, right? Okay. Yeah, yeah, the new digital age
kind of thing. Yeah, it basically, it was, this is one of the films that can kind of be identified as like starting the movement towards CGI.
Yeah.
We went too far.
Right.
We've gone too far.
We have.
Yeah. So maybe they should have crashed the waves on us. The aliens should have killed us because we need to rein it back a little bit.
That's harsh.
Rein it back. Whoa. Too much computer graphic imagery.
I agree. This is better than The Great Outdoors.
Okay.
I used my JARP rating maker.
What'd you rate it?
I gave it 3.75 JARPs. Almost California, four. Man. Almost four. But I'm going to read this because that's what I do. Despite being over 20 years old now, the theatrical achievements of this movie have rarely been matched by another filmmaker. See how I use that there? He's topped himself, but I don't think many other people have topped him. Any outdated visual effects and weaker story subplots get overshadowed by incredible underwater cinematography, some solid acting performances, and amazing set pieces. Points deducted for being too long.
How could you?
It was too long. Too long. Even the theatrical release was too long.
Remove the alien subplot.
I don't know.
Shorten it up a bit.
Remove a couple reactions or something. I don't know, man.
Maybe a couple bitches. Take out some bitches.
But just bring them home early, or their daddies will get mad.
Push the button.
What button am I supposed to fucking push?
Stargazing.
Oh. Are you good?
Farts are funny. Sean, what do you, aside from The Abyss and the documentary making of The Abyss, what are you watching? What are you excited about? What are you...
Well, I heard good things about that TED TV show, so I started watching it, and I binged all 7 episodes. Good. It's really funny.
Really funny? Okay.
Yeah. And it's just silly, funny. It's silly definitely funny. Not for those that get easily offended, can get raunchy and all that. So it's good. I liked it. Right up my alley.
Yeah.
Funny, haha. A lot of laugh out loud moments when I was watching it, and even reverted back to my 10-year-old self, and a couple parts I rewound a couple times and watched over and over again because they were so funny.
So is Seth MacFarlane involved in this? He's the voice?
Yeah, again? He does the voice of Ted. Yeah. And the CGI in Ted's really good. Like the Ted himself is really well done. I'd say almost even better than the movie. Than the Ted the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like they kept on improving technology.
Yeah.
No Mark Wahlberg, though.
No. And I didn't see any names in the credit either.
Is this like a reimagining of the movie? So like
no, it's supposed to be them as kids.
Oh.
It's him and a teenage boy, and they're in high school.
Oh, okay. So this is Mark Wahlberg as a little
growing
kid.
Up. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's not a night. It's done in the '90s then, or what's
exactly?
Oh, okay.
That's fun. And they've gone back in time and based it in the '90s and all that. So they hit on a bunch of nostalgia and shit like that.
That's fun.
Yeah, it is funny.
I watched Ben Schwartz and Friends.
Schwartz and Friends, that funny comedian?
Yeah, and it was an improvised, long-form improvised show at the Orpheum in Vancouver for the Just for Laughs
Festival. You went and saw him in real life.
Yeah, for nice. Real life.
Did you say good. Hi?
I said, hey, Ben, it's
Jennifer.
Me. Ben, it's Ben.
Benny.
I don't think he's married to a Jennifer.
Well, I don't know.
Also in there was Drew Tarver.
I don't know.
The other guys. It's like... the other two or something like that. It's like an HBO show.
Okay.
Colton Dunn is in it. He's in Superstore. You ever watched the show Superstore?
Superstore, yeah, but I don't know the name. Okay. I'd have to see a picture of the guy.
He's
the gentleman
in the wheelchair. He's always on the microphone PA system.
Yep.
And then another female improviser who is amazing. I forget her name. And yeah, great live improv.
Nice. Did you funny ha? Did you laugh out loud?
I laughed out loud many times.
Nice. Did you go by yourself?
No, my wife and I went.
Nice. Date night?
Date night.
Date night. Did she laugh?
She laughed.
At you or them?
More at them.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
And she's not a laugh out louder.
Okay. She's not a la lower. She's not a LOL.
Even though she LOLs on text all the time, I never see her.
You've never heard her actually LOL before.
Yeah, if she's watching something and if she laughs, it's
she's an imposter. Mm. She's an LOL imposter.
Yeah, it pisses me off when she lols because I know for a fact she is not.
Don't write that.
Be honest with your text.
To my way or the highway.
That's right. That's right. Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
Have you watched Shogun yet on the Disney Plus?
No.
Okay, 2 episodes of Shogun, I'd recommend it.
Nice.
It is nice.
Nice.
How about you?
Iron Claw. I really enjoyed it. You didn't enjoy it so much.
I thought it was fine.
You thought it was on par with The Great Outdoors.
Yeah, pretty Great Outdoors-ish.
Oh, that's too bad. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Really liked it. Yeah. I thought Zac Efron did really good, despite his funky hair and his...
He looked kind of creepy to me, actually.
He's had jaw surgery.
No.
Yeah, but I don't think it was cosmetic out of choice. I think he broke his jaw.
Like Gobstoppers eating Jawbreakers?
Something like that. Yeah, he was eating...
No.
No. No, he was not eating that. He was eating... I don't know what he... He broke his jaw, I think.
Okay.
And he had to get it like fixed.
Was he wrestling?
And that's why he kind of has a really kind of square, almost... Yeah, kind of weird stiffness in his face. Oh, interesting. Now.
He looks kind of like a monster a little bit to me. Mm. He
gained so much weight for this. Oh, yeah, holy shit, he's huge, man.
I don't know. Like, I think I felt everyone threw me off in that movie. Like every actor, I don't know. I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, maybe it was the hair. The hair is really bad.
The hair is bad.
But it's because of the time, right? Yeah. In the '70s, they had horrible hair at the end.
Yeah,
I guess so. I don't know. I was born then.
How much hair did you have when you were born?
Not much.
Full head?
I don't think so.
Less now or more now?
Probably not much. I don't know. Probably on par.
What's Harry Brown?
Harry Brown. Oh, that's a good one. Old Michael Caine.
Okay.
Michael Caine. I'm Michael Caine.
Master Wayne.
Michael Caine. And I'm an ex-Green Beret.
Okay.
And I'm a senior citizen in a kind of a slum.
Oh, yes. I've seen that.
And
that
my senior citizen friend gets murdered by a...
No.
Gang of street punks, and I go on a revenge.
They mess with the wrong guy.
They mess with the wrong senior citizen.
Sounds like a John Wick.
And it's very dirty and grimy, and yeah, it's good. Yeah. I liked it. And then I mentioned I watched Poor Things. Yeah, we talked about that.
Have you watched The Traitors yet?
No.
Okay.
I know that, yeah, that reality show you were talking about.
Yeah, the reality show.
Yeah.
So I've now done, I recommend, if you haven't watched The Traitors yet, watch the UK.
Okay.
There's 2 seasons of the UK.
Okay.
And then go from that to the Australian one.
Okay.
Don't
even bother.
Waste your time with the American Canadian
version. Don't even
bother
with the American one.
Go for...
I don't know what accent that was, but...
It was good, because it was unrecognizable.
Could have been South African.
Well, then that's... I mean...
Let's not be racist now.
A white South African?
I'm part South African.
Really?
Yeah.
The racist part?
No.
Okay. The other part.
Sure.
Do you want to do random movie trivia game?
Random what?
Random movie trivia game.
Yeah.
This is where we got cards we've never seen before.
Ever.
Sean randomly picks one. I randomly pick. We still got a good. Wait, we could go forever.
Do you know where the ones we've used are?
Yeah, I put them in there.
Oh,
those are all the ones we've used. Man,
there is tons left.
Yeah, so these are movie trivia game cards. There's 4 questions per card. We've never seen them before. We're going to take turns asking questions. Whoever gets the most questions right wins. What did we win, Sean?
Sex.
Oh, did you read that? I had mine facing up. Oh, my gosh.
No, I didn't see it. No, honestly, I didn't see it.
I'll ask you first.
Okay.
What is Bill Murray's job in Groundhog Day?
Oh, no.
Don't say Chris Elliott.
He is a... Do I have to be, like, super specific?
I mean, I feel like it's there. What is his job in Groundhog Day?
Well,
what
he's a news reporter.
For what? What's important? What do you need to know for a groundhog? Does it affect?
The weather. Correct. He's a weatherman.
Yeah, you know that. I'll give it to you.
Okay. I was going to say weatherman, but then I was like, do I need...
Oh, you're right.
Okay.
You're right.
Okay.
Ding yourself.
Ding.
Oh, that's nice.
That tickled. In Woody Allen's Midnight in Paris, what keeps happening to Gil at midnight?
He turns into a werewolf.
Wrong. He travels back in time.
Oh, Woody Allen.
Woody Allen's Midnight in Paris. Have you seen any Woody Allen movies?
I kept on thinking about the American in Paris. Paris in America? Maris.
Werewolf in London. Werewolf in London.
Damn, completely wrong.
And I knew Woody Allen had nothing to do with it. Oh my God. Okay. No, I've never seen that Woody Allen movie.
Okay. Hit me.
What war is raging in the good, the bad, and the ugly?
What war is raging?
War is raging. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Is it A, the Korean War? No, I'm not Korea. I'm giving you any hints. B, the Vietnam War.
The Civil War?
Like the American Civil War?
Yeah.
Correct. Yes, that's right. Good job. So far, 2 points for Sean, 0 points for Russ.
Yay!
Keep going.
I hit the wrong button. Which 1993 movie is subtitled The Bruce Lee Story? Blank. 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 The Bruce Lee Story. Something. Slash. The Bruce Lee Story. Something.
The dragon. Something. I don't know.
Wait, what?
The dragon? Something about the dragon?
It's just dragon, but we'll give it to you. I think.
What is it? What
was
it?
Well, it's dragon.
Dragon. Yeah.
You said the dragon.
Though. Oh, thank you for giving it to me.
You're welcome. Okay, go.
What illicit business does Vito Corleone not want his family to get into? What illicit business does Vito Corleone not want his family to get into?
The drug business.
Selling drugs. Don't sell drugs. Good job. 3 points for Sean.
One point for us as a gimme. Ray Liotta plays Shoeless Joe Jackson in what film?
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Hey, that's Shoeless Joe Jackson. No, it's not. It's Ray Liotta.
Oh, my God.
What movie?
In Shoeless Joe, not Goodfellas. Goodfellas? Shoeless Joe Jackson?
Field of Dreams.
Oh. Yeah, I guess I could have figured that out, couldn't I?
You could have, but you didn't.
I could only think of Cocaine Bear and Goodfellas.
Cocaine Bear, Jesus.
True or false? Oh, man. Oh. The box office flop John Carter was the first film to cost over $500 million to produce. True or false? The box office flop John Carter was the first film to cost over $500 million to produce.
False.
That is correct. It only cost $350 million.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Five was a little high.
Jeez Louise. Okay.
I thought five was a little high.
You definitely win that. What's my last question?
Last question. Yeah. For All the Apples.
Oh, wow.
Who won an Oscar? No, not For All the Apples. Who won an Oscar for her role as FBI agent Clarice Starling?
Jodie Foster.
Yeah, there you go.
Jodie Foster.
There you go. Yeah, right. Well.
Random movie trivia game. Congratulations, Sean. That was well done.
It was.
Hope wasn't it? My volumes were better today, everybody.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't hear much inflection.
Tried to stay very close. Send us an email, jarppodcast@gmail.com.
Let us know how you felt Russ's energy levels were.
Maybe you have a recommendation of a movie. Mm. Maybe we can give you a call. We haven't called anybody for a while.
Mm. No, we haven't. Yeah, we need to call somebody. We need some guests on here, you know? Maybe we'll just call you up one day and you know. Surprise, surprise! Oh my God.
Do you think they're excited that we might call?
I think so.
Well, it's fucking exhilarating.
Yeah, but how excited would they be if we called them?
Oh, I think, you know, they.
I'm so excited! I'm so excited!
And after all that, I mean, just if you take one thing home today, it's just remember.
I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
Okay, bye, buddy. Love you.
Bye. Love you, too.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
And welcome to How Long Can You Hold Your Breaths For? Starring John! Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, yeah, thanks. Welcome to the show. Now we just want to know, how long can you hold your breath for?
Oh, okay, well, let's find out.
Okay, go!
Okay, I guess we're still doing this. Let me put my headphones back on. He's still holding his breath. Let me take this opportunity to tell you how small Sean's wee-wee is. It's a little wee-wee, short and stout. Pull it back and pop it out. When it gets its blood, it likes to shout, I'm a wee-wee, love me still. It's the song Sean likes to sing to his wife before they have a shower together.
How long was that?
Oh, I'm not timing this.
Are you timing it? No. What the fuck did I do that for?
I don't know what you're doing. I wasn't prepared for this.